Right, take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 29 through 38 together. John chapter 1, verses 29 through 38. John chapter 1, verses 29 through 38. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. Come on in, Brother Harry, it's okay. Miss Kathy, where are you? There she is. No wonder I couldn't see her. She was sitting down with Miss Osi. All right. John chapter 1, verses 29 through verse 38. We'll read this passage responsively. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And let's pray. Father, again, we need you. Now, Holy Spirit, would you please give my voice clarity? Would you give our people clarity to hear? And Lord, may the Holy Spirit of God teach it as we preach tonight to us as you have it for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. To me, this is one of the sweetest passages in Scripture. And it's one that probably, and this might sound a little strange to you, but this is a passage of Scripture that for a long time did not make a lot of sense to me. You say, what do you mean? And if you'll listen, I can teach you some things tonight that will help you. Please let me use the Word of God to teach the Word of God to the people of God. I'm not going to put much opinion at all in this. It's going to be raw Bible, but it will help you tonight. John the Baptist was a fiery preacher. He was the Lester Roloff of his day. You say, why would you say Lester Roloff? Because he was a bit reckless. John the Baptist didn't give a flip about the politicians. He preached it no matter who you was. And the Bible says that John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey, and Lester Roloff didn't eat nothing but bugs and sugar either. Amen? He was a bold, hellfire-fighting, sin-naming, wild preacher. He was known for preaching against the politicians. Matter of fact, John the Baptist died because he got up and preached that Herod the king was sleeping with his brother's wife, and got his brother's wife so angry that he ended up losing his head over the deal. Now, when you're willing to get up and preach like that, I had somebody walk out today because they thought I took a shot at the president. They didn't have to think I did. You say, does that bother you? Nope, because they would have walked out on something else later. Just trust me. And it's okay. He was known for preaching against the religious leaders of the day. He was the J. Frank Norris, the John R. Rice, the Lester Roloff, the Jack Hiles, the Lester Roloff of his day. John was the earthly cousin of Jesus. They were somewhat related by their family, so to speak, their earthly family. And John was known as John the Baptist. Just so you know, Baptist wasn't his last name. Okay? That was his title. The church that was started was a Baptist church. Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist, and Jesus was a Baptist. Amen. You say, well, you're just so much of a literalist. Thank you very much. I'm glad you see it my way. There were Baptist churches for more than 300 years before there ever was a Catholic church. Baptists did not come through the Reformation. Reformation was the splitting up of the Catholic Church, which is where all of your mainline denominations came from. But the Baptists go farther back than that, just so you know. All right? And I'm not going to preach on that tonight. We'll save that for another time. John's ministry was big, and John's ministry was growing. Many loved him, and many hated him. He had many followers, and the Bible talked about multitudes that would follow him, but the Bible says that he had a few that were disciples. Now, they were called disciples. I want you to look at verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Wow. And it talks about them being John's disciples. Look at verse 35. Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples. These were people that worked with John the Baptist. For lack of better terminology, they were his assistant pastors. They were his staff. They were full-time workers that worked with him. So John had seen Jesus, and he was preaching, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he began to preach about Jesus. And the next day, John was with his two disciples, and we know one of them was Andrew. Say, why? If you read John chapter 1 a little bit later from where we were, one of them was Andrew, and he went and got his brother Peter and brought him to Jesus. I don't know who the other one was. We could speculate all we want, but it doesn't matter. It just says two of them were John's disciples. Amen? Then, Jesus and John and the two disciples saw each other the next day. And John looked up and said, "Hey, fellas, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." This is one of the most amazing things in Scripture to me. And the Bible says they left John and began following Jesus. They left John and began following Jesus. John lost his staff that quick. Say, boy, that doesn't sound right. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. They began to follow Jesus immediately. Now, I'm going to transition into the thought for the night, and I need your mind. I'm going to touch a very sensitive issue. Baptists today have dangerously turned to terms and practices that scare me. There seems to be a big push in Baptist churches today, especially the ones changing to modernism, that we must disciple converts. We've got to have discipleship programs. We have discipleship programs led by pastors who spend time that they should be out soul winning that are now spending time, quote unquote, discipling people. Don't get me wrong. I'm for people growing in the Lord. I am for, matter of fact, I'm more for people growing in the Lord, listen to me, than I am discipleship. You see, discipleship and growing in the Lord are not necessarily the same thing. A disciple, I'm going to use simple terminology because that's the only thing I understand. Discipleship is the training of full-time Christian servants. It's Bible college. Growing in the Lord is for everybody. God did not say that everybody was supposed to go to Bible college and be full-time servants. He did say it's for everybody to grow in the Lord. Now, listen to me very carefully. Humanists, intellectuals, and liberals in Christianity today have put a high premium on discipleship. They've turned churches into Bible college classrooms and seminary courses. Church is supposed to be a hospital, not a college course. Church is supposed to be a place you come and grow, not a place you come and necessarily fill your notebook full of information so Dr. Mess-Em-Up can confuse you. We are not supposed to study the dead and the unknown to figure out how to live. We're supposed to teach and preach the ever-living Word of God so man can grow thereby. You see, discipleship and growth in the Lord are two totally separate things. When I left high school, I left mom and dad's house. I drove out the driveway of 1250 Elwood Southwest, Canton, Ohio, 44710. Amen. Phone number was 477-6305. All right. I still remember that. All right. Now, I say that to say this. You say, how did you learn that? I had to learn that before I went to kindergarten. So if I ever got lost, somebody could call my mom. Amen. Mommy, what's your address? Man, you had to know your address before you went to school. Now they just follow you on your GPS on your cell phone. Amen. So does the government. But when I left high school and I left my mom and dad's house, I drove from there to Indiana to go to Bible college. I entered a discipleship program for 4+ years. I was going into the ministry. I was being trained to do the work of God. And that is discipleship. When you get saved, you're not necessarily going to be called of God to be a disciple, but you're supposed to grow in the Lord. Did you know disciples were to grow in the Lord too? If you look at Peter's life, at any one point in time, most of you would have left his church. Changed his doctrine, made stupid statements. Most of you would have never sat under the ministry of the Apostle Paul because of some of the things he did. He got in a fight with Barnabas, got mad at John Mark, wouldn't take him on another missionary journey because he was sucking his thumb and wanted to go back home to mommy and said, he can go, but I'm not taking him again. Got bitter. The Bible says the contention got so strong between them that they had to part ways. That's the Apostle Paul. He took a foolish Jewish vow. God rebuked him for it. We look at these people in the Bible, we think they never did anything wrong. Most of you would have never even wanted to be associated with King David or Moses. I could keep going if you want me to. Discipleship and growth in grace are two totally different things. The Apostle Peter grew in the Lord, but he was a disciple. But guess what? They're not the same thing. Discipleship and growth in grace are not the same thing. Now, everybody listen to me. I have used the term myself over the years about discipling converts. But here's what's happened. It's just like many other words. We use it casually and it loses its meaning and then people change it. People change it. Used to be, those of you that are about probably 60 years old or older, the word gay used to mean happy. It was a good word. Now, anybody my age or under, that's not a good word. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You see, we've taken a good word and changed the meaning. And we have Baptists today who are taking a good word and changing the meaning of it. And it's causing friction in our churches. And I'm watching churches that go away from soul winning. I'm watching churches that go away from the authority of the Word of God. I'm watching churches that used to stand for right, now discipling people, and they're backing up their standards, they're changing their music, and they're gone to intellectualism. They got a mealy mouth. I almost got in trouble this morning. They got a bunch of sissy bridge preachers up there. I'm telling you what, I am so sick and tired of preachers talking about how hard they preach, and I'm waiting for them to preach anything. Now listen to me. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. God has not asked every Christian to be a disciple. But he has told us all that we're to grow. Now, let me help you. Number one, God commands us to grow in grace. He never one time commanded us to be a disciple. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Everybody doing okay? Okay, don't worry, I'm not preaching heresy. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 8. Beloved, that's not it. Hang on here. If I'd read my own, verse 18. If I'd read my own notes, it'd be a whole lot better, wouldn't it? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Notice he didn't say, if you want to, grow. He said, grow. Grow in grace. That's as much of a command as thou shalt not kill. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what? It doesn't matter who you are or how long you've been saved. You are supposed to grow in the Lord. Did you know that that word grow literally means to grow like a tree? Do you know that from the time a tree starts growing, it grows to the point that it dies? It will grow constantly. It never stops growing. The moment it starts or stops growing, it starts dying. A tree is constantly growing. And that is exactly what God says in your life. I was telling Brother Barnes yesterday, I remember we planted a pin oak tree in my grandma and grandpa's backyard. Dad, that thing was what, about 6-8 foot tall at most when we put it in the ground? I was back in Ohio a year or so ago, went down 16th Street and looked in the backyard, and my soul alive. The base on that tree is wider than this pulpit. That tree's got to be 44, 45 years old. It is tall. It takes up the entire backyard. And I mean the whole backyard and part of the neighbor's backyard. It is a monstrous tree. Say, how do you know it's grown? Because for about 10 years of my life, I used to bang my head on the stupid limbs on that thing because it was so low. Now, you need a rigging outfit just to get to the branches. I mean, it is a massive tree. We are to grow. Did you know you're not too old to keep growing in the Lord? Did you know you're not too spiritual that you can't grow in the Lord? I am so sick of people thinking they're so spiritual that they don't know God. You're not too rich. You're not too fancy. You're not too smart. You're not too young. You can grow in the Lord. God commands us all to grow in the Lord. Did you know, as your pastor, I'm supposed to grow in the Lord? And I'm growing. Man, I'm having so much fun. And I'm doing everything I can. I know I've got a lot to learn. I know there's a lot more growing out there. But guess what? I'm trying to stay ahead of you. But we're supposed to grow. And we're supposed to keep growing. We are to grow like a tree. When it stops growing, it starts dying. When it stops growing, it stops dying. Let me ask you a question. Well, my Christian life is dead. Time to start growing. Time to start growing. You say, well, I just haven't had all the right influences. You've got a word of God, you can grow. Grow if this is new to you. Grow if this is old to you. If you've been in church a long time or you haven't been in church at all, it's time to grow. I don't understand this. Brother Stoltz, I hope I never get over being saved. Amen. I got saved when I was about knee-high to a grasshopper. I was not very old, Brother Mike. I didn't go out into sin. I didn't wasn't a drunkard. I never shot drugs, never smoked drugs, didn't suck alcohol down, didn't live immoral, didn't live an indecent life, but I was a sinner like everybody else was and got saved. Hey, can I tell you something? I'm probably more excited about my salvation after being saved almost 44 years than some people are who came out of that kind of lifestyle. I get sick and tired of kids that grow up in church and they want to go to the world to find out what the world has, and it takes more grace to keep you out of that mess than it does to go to it. The world has nothing to offer you but death. Nothing. Well, it just looks like so much fun. Talk to somebody that came out of it. It's not that much fun. Not at all. You are to grow. By the way, I plan on growing. Say, how do you grow? You read your Bible. How do you grow? You come to church Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You need church. You need the Word of God preached to you. Every once in a while, you need the man of God to climb on your back and preach the snot out of you. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You need to follow what God says to do for your life. Not what you think He says, but what He says. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Not your will, His will. Not what you want, but what He wants. Amen. Sometimes you even need to go get good Bible counsel from the man of God. Amen. I just happen to believe God gives the man of God the words from the Word of God to give you to help you with your problem. I really believe that. So, God commanded us to grow in grace. You will never find one verse in there where God says you're commanded to be a disciple. Every time He says, if you'd like to be my disciple, you must do. If. That's not a command. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun here. You're about not to. Here we go. Number two. Disciples are full-time people in the ministry. Turn to Luke chapter 14. And I am going to fly through some scripture here. I want you to follow along. Luke chapter 14, look at verse number 25, and I'm going to read about 8 or 9 verses as fast as I can read, and I'll stop and comment here in a moment. Luke 14, verse 25, "And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them, If any man come to Me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost thereof, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it all, that behold, it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. What king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him which cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be My disciple." God says it's foolish for you to go start building a house and not have the money to do it. He said, who goes and builds a building and doesn't consider how much it's going to cost? You're going to get it part way up and realize, uh-oh, I didn't plan this and I don't have money to finish it, and there it sits. He said, it's like a king who's going to go to war and he's got 10,000 soldiers, but he's going against 20,000 troops. And then he finds out he's in trouble. He didn't do his homework. He didn't listen to his advisors. Hint, hint. God said, a disciple is one that's willing to leave father, mother, his wife, his children, all of his family, his sisters, that's an easy one, and leave them all. Now, He doesn't mean you are going to actually leave your wife, just so you know. That means this: when you go into the ministry, God calls you and you do what He says, not what you want to do. Before my wife and I started dating very seriously, I looked at her and said, if God continues this, I have no idea where we're going to end up in 25, 30 years. Are you willing to go? Thank God she said yes. I remember the day I told her I loved her. I said, Debbie, I can tell you I love you now. Take me the rest of my life to prove it. Say, what did she say? Not a stinking thing. Thank God for my mother-in-law. She called her mom. She said, well, what did you tell him, Debbie? Nothing. Why? My mother-in-law was my greatest cheerleader at that time. Praise the Lord. Now, wait a minute. My wife has followed me all over the country. We left our families and went to California. The box of cereal, fruits, flakes, and nuts. Amen. We left California, went to South Carolina. I was about as home at South Carolina as I was California, trust me. Neither fit right, but I fit myself in because it was God's will. Then we went back to the Chicago area. You're looking at one man that hates big cities. I don't like big cities. I don't like traffic. You have never experienced traffic till you've driven in downtown L.A. The 405 parking lot, I mean the freeway, the 710, the 91, the 5, the 10, the 405, you name it, amen, Brother Gus, that is 12 to 14 lanes each direction. 24 to 30 lanes of traffic on a freeway, and I'm not kidding. And then you get over by LAX, and you have the 5, the 10, the 405, and another freeway that come together, and it's piled up one on top of the other, and it's got about 8 different layers of clover leaves up in the sky, and if you don't know where you're going, you're going to end up in Cucamonga. I'm not kidding either. You just tie a knot and hang on, and it's bumper to bumper at 85 mile an hour. If the speed limit's 65, but the flow of traffic's 80, they pull you over and give you a ticket for not going the flow of traffic. That is what they tell you. Now you say, oh man, that's exciting. No, it's not. Disciples are full-time Christian servants. God does not call everybody into the ministry. Flat out. I believe a higher percentage will be called out of people who grow up in church, but that doesn't mean everybody's been called into the ministry. Let me say it this way. Did you know that God makes it very clear when you're supposed to be in the ministry? You won't have to wonder. You'll know. You'll know. God does not want you, God does want you to grow, but not everybody can and not everybody should be in full-time ministry. I know of a man, he wanted to go start a church. He was at Bible college, wanted to go start a church in Florida. He had 8 kids. Brother Heil said, don't you do it. He said, but God called me. He said, Doc, I'm telling you, you need to go to a church that has a salary that can take care of your family. You're going to ruin your family. It's going to be a mess. Well, he disobeyed. Went to Florida. He started the church. Tried for 2 years to get it. Was working full-time job, trying to support 8 kids, a wife, work a full-time job, and get a church started. Then one of his older kids got in a car wreck and was killed in a car wreck and ruined his marriage, and now they're divorced. And I say, what a tragedy that they didn't listen to the man of God. God doesn't call everybody into full-time service. Do you know that every one of you young people, as long as you do God's will, that's all your preacher has asked you to do? I'm happy with that.
That's good.
I'm happy with that. If everybody were called to the ministry, who are we going to preach to? Everybody doing all right? Here we go. Number 3. Jesus was not the only one to have disciples in the Bible. Jesus was not the only one to have disciples in the Bible. John chapter 1 verse 35, John the Baptist had disciples. Everybody doing okay? It said, John's disciples, his disciples. Turn to Mark chapter 9. This one's going to shock you. Mark chapter 9. And I think I wrote the wrong verse down. Hang on. We are in trouble. Hang on here. Your preacher's embarrassed, but that's life. All right, let me see. I'll come back with the verse later, but let me give it to you. The Pharisees called themselves Moses' disciples. Don't look in your Bible. You're not going to find it any faster than me. Look at me. I'm past that. It's in there. I'll get it back to you. Come back next Sunday night, and I'll tell you what it was. All right? But in Mark, the Pharisees called themselves Moses' disciples. Now, they perverted Moses' teachings. They were trying to teach law and works salvation. But they called themselves Moses' disciples. Now, Jesus had more than 12 disciples. Did you know that? Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 11. This one I know is right. John chapter 11. And I apologize, that doesn't happen very often. And it won't happen again if I can keep my sanity. John chapter 11, look at verse number 1. Now, there was a certain man sick named Lazarus, the Bethany town of Martha and her sister. And let's see here. And we go through all of this, and you get down to in the verse, and it talks about all of these people that followed him. The multitudes followed him, and many disciples. Okay, I got to get to this other verse. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I want to hurry through this thing because I got to get to the last point. John chapter 6, look at verse number 64. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And they said, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me if it were given him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? There were many other disciples. Jesus had many disciples. But many decided they were going to quit, and they went back. So there were more than 12 disciples that followed Jesus. There were only 12 that made it to the, well, there were 11 that made it all the way to the end. Now, listen to me very carefully. This is the whole sermon. Number 4, and I'm done with this point. Modern discipleship programs are geared at the mind and not the ministry. Modern discipleship programs are geared at the mind and not the ministry. They say, you need to take these courses. We're going to teach you all of the doctrines. We're going to teach you all of the things, the hidden things of God. Puke. It's all geared to humanism and intellectualism. That's why they hang on here. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me show you what I mean. 2 Timothy chapter 3. God told us it was going to happen. He predicted it. He told us in the Bible. He knew the end before the beginning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's look at verse number, let me start in verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Watch this. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Watch this. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. The modern Christianity is ever learning but never getting to the truth. Oh, we've got to put our... They want intellectual Christians, not soul winners. They look at soul winners as being weak. Ah, you're one of those soul winning Christians? Yep. Well, how much do you know about the vision of Daniel and the beast that had the golden head and the body of brass and the legs of brass and the body of silver and the 10 toes and what each of those toes? Who gives a flip? They don't know what it means either outside of Scripture. Everybody doing okay? Now hang on here. I'm going somewhere. They want factually smart Christians, not biblically obedient Christians. I don't care how many facts you know about the Word of God. How much of it are you living? I don't care how much you know about salvation. Who have you told about it and keep them out of hell? You're like the Pharisees who walk around. You're full of knowledge, but you don't use it for anything but yourself. Knowledge puffeth up. It means like a roadkill. Dad and I were driving back from somewhere yesterday, and there was a deer laying out in the highway. And we've had some warm weather lately. And it was kind of, its legs were like this. And I thought to myself, God pity the car that goes by that when it goes and blows up. It's all puffed up. God said people that all they do is put facts and knowledge into their brain but do not use it to help somebody else are just full of roadkill gas, corruption, defilement. They're all puffed up. The average public educator in a public college today is just like that. Let me get up and prove to you how smart I am and how stupid you are. Let me start spitting off words that nobody understands. That's nonsense. They want you learning. They don't want you soul winning. Now, they preach soul winning, but they don't practice it. They tell you they believe in it, but they don't do any of it. They want their cute alliterative outlines, and they want their fancy monitors and screens, but they don't have any preaching. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before we have screens and put my outlines up there. Number one, you can't read them and neither can I. Number two, I'm not sticking myself into some alliteration. People are, what's alliteration? That means all the points have the same, you know, start with the same letter. And they have all these pretty outlines they got from a sermonette while they were sucking on a cigarette. I heard one of these sissy britches. I swear he had more lace on his shorts than his wife had. I'm really going to preach hard to you tonight. He got done. I thought, I didn't know he even got started. Matter of fact, I was mad at him about 60 seconds inside that thing because he already started off bad doctrine. I just wanted to hear what a sissy britches sounded like when he really preached, Brother Gus. It was like I thought. It wasn't. I'm really going to hit sin hard. He used the word sin about 8 times in the sermon. Never mentioned it. Good night. We are to grow in grace. We are to grow in grace. When you come to church, you're learning the Word of God. When you read the Bible, you're learning the Word of God. But you're also supposed to go soul winning. You're supposed to take what you learn, go out and use it to keep somebody out of hell. You're supposed to go help somebody. What good does it do if it's all up here and it doesn't go anywhere else? I could sit in my office and be a hermit, study my Bible the rest of my life and be a happy person in some form. I love the Bible. But God won't give me more truth until I start using what I do know. I don't go to conferences. Can I tell you why? I don't need another conference. I need to do what I already know to do. There's no new ways. It's all old ways. I'm tired of the newfangled junk. Let's just go back to the old ways. I'll tell you who I listen to in preaching. I listen to preaching almost every day of my life. I listen to Brother Hiles, Lester Roloff, Al Lacey, J. Frank Norris. I listen to the old timers. I'm going back 50, 60, 70, 80 years and listening to preaching. When the greatest churches in America were built. I grew up in a hotbed of churches. Canton Baptist Temple was on Whipple Avenue. Our church was on West Tusk. Massillon Baptist Temple was over here. There were 7.4 miles between Canton Baptist Temple and Massillon Baptist Temple. Dr. Henniger and Dr. Cummins from both of those churches both graduated under J. Frank Norris. They were 7.5 miles apart from one another. One built a church of 10,000. The other one built a church of almost 3,000. Akron Baptist Temple was about 9 miles down the road from Canton Baptist Temple and Massillon Baptist Temple. Within 20 miles, you had three churches, two of them running almost or over 10,000, and one running 3,000. Within 20 miles of each other. Everybody doing all right? They didn't give a rip. They just cut off a chunk and started preaching. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun. Folks, we're supposed to go out and reach everybody we can reach. That's how you grow. You grow as you start going out and getting people and bringing them to church and say, oh God, please don't let the preacher kill the Catholics today because I brought a Catholic friend. Amen, Arlene. And then they get saved and they get growing in grace and she's thinking, how did that happen? Because it's God, not me. By the foolishness of preaching. Man, when they heard the truth, they were excited. They were excited. Did you know Sunday school is important for your growth and grace? You need Sunday school. We need to fellowship with one another. Not gossip, but fellowship. You know who the greatest friends I have in the whole world are? Sitting in this room right now. Promise you. I spend my whole life for this. I have no regrets. None. First time in my ministry ever that I was with my parents was when they moved here 12 years ago. I didn't think it would ever happen. Never asked them to, by the way. Never lived close to my in-laws. No. Now, let me say this. I'd be honored if they came here, but I didn't get into the ministry to move closer to my mommy and daddy. Right. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm 48 years old. When you change, you got to think about it. I'm 48 years old. I'm supposed to make decisions based on the will of God, not my mommy and daddy. Amen. Not my children. I got two kids in Lexington, Kentucky. One's working part-time church staff for Brother Fugit right now, getting ready to start a church next year. I'm not going to quit this church to go help my son. Just so you know. I'm proud of him. He's got a chunk of the will of God. He's got to live for his life and for he and his wife and maybe someday future family. But may I say this, that's his job. Jeff's got to do the same thing. My daughter's getting ready to leave for Bible college and she'll find some toe-headed idiot and they'll figure out God's will for their life. They're not supposed to live my will of God. They're supposed to live their will of God. Amen. That's good. Yes, sir. I want them as happy as my wife and I are. I made a promise to those two people sitting right there about 27 years ago. I'd take care of their daughter. Told them we might not have a lot, but I'd keep her in the will of God. And I've kept my promise. We're as happy as two pigs in a slop bucket. We are having so much fun. I love my work. It's almost a shame to call what I do work. I love it so much. There's days that are hard, days it's heavy, but that's what God called me into it for. We're all supposed to grow. I'm not really blowing my stack. I just want you to understand, we're all supposed to grow. There's only going to be a few disciples, but we can all grow in grace. We can all grow in grace. God didn't ask you to leave your family and leave your wife to be a disciple. But I left the will of my in-laws and the will of my mom and dad so that my wife and I could do the will of God. You think either set of parents wanted us to go to California? We didn't want to go to California. But God did. We went to South Carolina. We weren't sure we wanted to go there, but God was. Then we ended up back in Indiana. I wasn't sure that's what we wanted to do, but God was. Then God moved me to Martinsburg. You have to know that's the will of God. And I love it. I mean this. When I talk about home, it's Martinsburg. It's not Ohio. Ohio is where I grew up, but it's not home. This is home. It is. It's home. Say why? Because it's the will of God. Amen. It is the will of God. Why don't you just nestle up in the will of God and start growing? That's good. Man, I'm watching old people grow in the Lord. It's exciting. I got some senior citizens, buddy. They're growing. I got some young adults that are growing. I got some young people. They're really growing. I got some of us middle agers that are growing. No, it's middle age. My grandmother's 97. I'm less than half her age. If you double mine, I'm 96. That's middle age, amen. Can I tell you something? We're all supposed to grow. Let's quit worrying about discipleship and start worrying about growth and grace. Let's all decide we're going to grow. Young people, God may call you to the ministry. Great. Happy for you. Come, we'll talk about it. But you'll know when it happens. You won't have to wonder. It's not some deep, dark secret. He'll make it very obvious to you. I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How's your growth chart? Have you been growing? I don't care if you've been to Bible college. Don't care if you've been to seminary. Don't care how many degrees you have. Are you growing? Not have you grown, are you still growing in the Lord?